You know that little jolt you sometimes get? Maybe sliding across a car seat or shuffling on the carpet, then zap.
Oh yeah, that static shock happens all the time.
Right, and it's all down to electric charge. But what is charge, really, when you get right down to it?
That is the big question, isn't it? And that's what we're diving into today. We've got these sources you shared, and the plan is to, go beyond just the shocks and understand the real
The
basics.
fundamental properties.
Exactly. What makes electricity? Well, electric at its core.
Okay, so we know there are the two kinds, positive and negative. And the effects happen when they're not quite balanced out, like in our static example.
Precisely. And when we're talking about things that are really small compared to how far apart they are, think like individual electrons, maybe, or tiny charged beads separated by some distance.
Okay.
We often use a simplification, a handy one, called a point charge.
Point charge, like all the charge is just squeezed into one tiny spot.
You got it. Makes the math easier sometimes when the size of the object isn't really the important part.
Right. So our mission then is to get our heads around how these charges actually work, how they interact, the basic rules.
That's the goal. Understanding these fundamental building blocks.
So where do we start?
Well, a good place is how charges behave when you have more than one together in a system.
Okay.
And the first principle is actually pretty straightforward. It's called the additivity of charges.
Additivity. Okay. Sounds like adding things up.
It is. If you have a collection of charges, you just add their values together, like counting marbles.
But charges aren't all the same, are they? There's positive and negative.
Exactly. That's the crucial difference from just counting marbles or even adding masses. Mass is always positive, right?
Yeah, you can have negative mass.
Right. But charge can be positive or negative. So it's more like adding numbers on a number line. You need to pay attention to the sign.
Ah, okay, so it's algebraic addition.
Precisely. Charge is a scalar quantity. It has magnitude, but no direction like a force. So plus one charge and a plus two charge. Simple. Together they make plus three.
But a plus one and a mask one.
They cancel out. Total charge, zero.
Got it. Like in the materials example, a system with plus one, plus two, minus three, plus four, and minus five, you just add them up.
Yep. One plus two is three, minus three is zero, plus four is four, minus five is minus one.
Total charge, minus one. Makes sense. And that positive negative thing, that ability to cancel out, that's fundamental, isn't it?
Absolutely fundamental. It underpins pretty much everything electrical, from, giant lightning bolts down to the signals flying around inside your phone.
Okay, so they add up algebraically. Simple enough. What's next?
The next really big idea is the conservation of charge.
Conservation, like energy conservation. It doesn't just disappear.
Exactly like that. Think back to rubbing the carpet. You get a shock, right? One thing becomes positive, the other negative.
Yeah, like electrons jump from the carpet to my socks or something.
Precisely. Electrons moved. And that transfer highlights this principle. In an isolated system, one that's closed off from outside influence, the total electric charge stays constant,
It
always.
doesn't get created or destroyed, just moved around.
You've got it. You can shuffle it between objects within the system, but the net amount, the total positive minus the total negative, doesn't change.
So if my socks gained, say, a million electrons worth of negative charge.
Then the carpet must have lost exactly a million electrons, gaining an equal amount of positive charge. The total change for the whole system, socks plus carpet, is zero.
Okay, but what about like in particle physics? Don't they sometimes create charged particles?
Ah, good question. Yes, that happens. For instance, a neutron, which is neutral, can decay into a proton positive and an electron negative.
So charge was created there.
Well, yes and no. A positive charge appeared, but so did an equal negative charge. The net charge created was zero. Positive one plus negative one equals zero. The total charge of the system remains unchanged.
Ah, I see. So even when particles are created or destroyed, it always happens in pairs or ways that keep the total charge balanced.
Exactly. And this isn't just a neat theory. It's a bedrock principle confirmed by countless experiments. It's a fundamental law.
Okay, additivity and conservation. Got it. Now, the material talks about quantization of charge.
That sounds deep.
It is. It's really fundamental.
Yeah.
Quantization means something comes in discrete packets or units. Like you can't have half a step on a staircase, only whole steps.
Okay.
Or think about money. You have cents or pennies, right? It's
Yeah.
the smallest unit. You can have 1 cent, 2 cents, 10 cents, but you can't have like 2.5 cents in a single coin.
Right. It comes in fixed amounts.
Exactly. An electric charge is like that.
Yeah.
All free charges that we've ever observed are always whole number multiples of a basic fundamental unit of charge.
A smallest possible chunk of charge.
That's a great way to put it. An atom of charge, if you will. Right. We use the symbol E for this fundamental unit. And the rule is simple. Any charge 2 you find is equal to N times E, where N is just an integer, a whole number, like negative 2, negative 1, 0, plus 1, plus 2, and so on.
So you can have a charge of plus E, or magnitude 3E, or plus 100E, but never like 0.7E. Never. And this isn't just some random value. It's the magnitude of the charge on a single electron, which is E, or a single proton, plus E.
Wow. So electrons and protons carry this fundamental unit. Where did this idea even come from, it seems? Counterintuitive, maybe?
Well, the first hints came from Michael Faraday's work on electrolysis back in the 19th century. His experiments suggested charge was related to atoms or ions in discrete ways.
Okay.
But the real clincher, the direct experimental proof, came later. Robert Millikan's oil drop experiment in the early 20th century.
Ah, yes, the famous oil drop experiment.
That's the one. He managed to measure the charge on tiny oil droplets and found they were always multiples of the same small value. That value was E. He demonstrated quantization beautifully.
That's amazing. So how big, or rather, how small is this E? What's its value?
It's incredibly small. In our standard units, Coulomb's capital C, the value of E, is about 1.602 times 10 to the power of minus 19 coulombs.
10 to the minus 19, that's minuscule.
It really is. Just to give you an idea of the coulomb itself, one coulomb is defined as the charge that flows past a point in a wire in 1 second, if the current is 1 ampere.
Right, and the source material mentions it takes something like 6, followed by 18 zeros, 6 yeah. times 10 to the 18 electrons. Just to make up 1 coulomb of negative charge.
Exactly. It puts E into perspective. A coulomb is actually a very large amount of charge in terms of these fundamental units. That's why in electrostatics, we often end up using smaller units like millicoulombs MC, which is a thousandth of a coulomb, or microcoulomb C, which is a millionth.
Because dealing with whole coulombs of static charge is pretty rare in everyday stuff.
Very rare. And this links back. If you have an object with, say, N2 protons and N1 electrons.
Okay.
The total charge is just the number of protons times plus E plus the number of electrons times, which works out to N2 minus N1 times E. Since N1 and N2 are integers, their difference is also an integer. Reinforces the idea. Charge always comes in multiples of E.
Right. It all fits together. But hang on. If charge is grainy, made of these tiny steps E, why does electricity often feel so smooth, like water flowing, not like counting tiny particles?
That is an excellent, excellent question. And it's all about scale.
Scale.
Yeah. On the macroscopic level, the world we see and touch, even a tiny amount of charge, involves a truly enormous number of these E units.
Yeah.
Billions and billions, trillions, even more.
Okay.
When you have that many tiny steps packed together, the graininess just disappears from view. It looks continuous. Think of a digital photo. Up close, you see the pixels, the discrete dots.
Yeah.
But stand back, and it looks like a smooth, continuous image. Charge is the same. At our scale, the E steps are too small and too numerous to notice individually.
So for most everyday electrical engineering, maybe, you can treat charge as continuous, and it works fine.
Absolutely. For circuits, for motors, that approximation is usually perfect. But get down to the level of atoms, transistors, single molecules, then quantization becomes absolutely critical. You have to consider the discrete nature.
It depends on whether you're dealing with a few charges or zillions of them.
Precisely. And the sources give a couple of examples that really drive this home.
Yeah. The first one was about how long it takes to get 1 coulomb. If you have 109 electrons, that's 1 billion electrons moving per second.
1 billion per second sounds pretty fast.
It does. But to accumulate just 1 single coulomb of charge, the answer is nearly 200 years.
Wow. 2 centuries. That just hammers home how huge a coulomb is compared to the charge on 1 electron.
It really does. And then there's the bit about copper. 1 cubic centimeter, tiny piece of metal, contains about 2.5 times 10 to the 24 electrons. Just mind-boggling numbers of charges packed into ordinary matter.
Even though the copper itself is neutral overall.
Yeah.
Equal numbers of protons.
Exactly. Which leads to the other example. A cup of water, just plain water, maybe 250 grams.
Okay, typical glass of water.
If you calculate the total positive charge from all the protons in the hydrogen and oxygen nuclei and the total negative charge from all the electrons.
You get enormous numbers, right?
Absolutely enormous. Something like 1.34 times 10 to the power of 7 coulombs for both the positive and the negative charge.
13 million coulombs in a glass of water.
Yeah. It's incredible. All that charge is in there, perfectly balanced, so the water is neutral. But the sheer amount.
It really shows that everyday objects are just awash in these fundamental charges, held together in balance.
Okay, wow. So let's try and sum this up then. We started with static shocks, and we found charges additive, but algebraically signs matter, positive and negative.
Right. They can cancel out.
Then there's conservation. In an isolated system, the total charge stays put. It doesn't change.
Can't create it or destroy it overall, just move it.
And finally, perhaps the weirdest bit, quantization. Charge comes in indivisible little packets, units of E.
The fundamental charge. Even though it looks smooth to us most of the time because he's so tiny and there's so many charges involved.
But deep down at the micro level, it's grainy, not continuous.
That's the picture. Additive, conserved, and quantized. Those are the absolute fundamentals of electric charge. It's the basis for so much physics.
It really makes you think. So maybe final thought for everyone listening. If charge really is quantized, always coming in these tiny identical packets of E, what does that tell us about reality itself? I mean, does this graininess hint at something deeper about how matter and energy are structured? Could there be something even more fundamental underlying this D, or is that the bottom floor, so to speak?
That's a fascinating question to ponder. Does quantization apply everywhere? Are there exceptions we haven't found? It takes you from a simple zap on a doorknob right to the edge of fundamental physics.
Something to keep chewing on.